That's it. There's just nothing I prefer than talking about the Stone of Destiny. Because I talk about it a lot. Like,
specialist subject on Mastermind.
Oh, yes. Most days, I just, myself and Tommy, sit down and have a good old chat about it.
Just love that stone.
I just love that stone. I'm forever singing about it as well. Like, oh, shut up about the Stone of Destiny, Kathleen. Do you know any of their songs? Every day. It's kind of an obsession.
You got in touch with me and said, can I talk about this?
I mean, I sent you about 45 emails. Finally, you applied. So thanks for coming.
Hello, agus fáilteach riail ar ais go Gaelic song stories in pod chrúlach far an bimise deirdre gréamach a thurst súl ar na scíalachan ar cúl of na náran. Hello and a very warm welcome back to Gaelic song stories with me, Deirdre Graham. Throughout this podcast series, I'll be looking at more stories and themes behind Scottish Gaelic songs. As a Gaelic singer myself, I have a lifelong affinity with the songs and stories that surrounded me growing up, which have been transmitted through the oral tradition and more recently in recordings and collections. These stories echo across the Highlands, and as I delve into them, I want to take you on a journey to explore the Scottish Gaeltacht and highlight the continuing relevance of these songs. I'll be interviewing some wonderfully knowledgeable guests, each of whom have a keen interest and expertise in several different areas, including war, piping and political struggles, with a good smattering of humour. This week, I am delighted to be talking to none other than renowned Gaelic singer Kathleen McInnes. Born and brought up in South Uist, she has been steeped in songs and stories, and she sits at the forefront of Gaelic music. Her immediately recognisable voice has melted many a listener's heart, and she has brought Gaelic music to the world's attention, having sung on the soundtrack for Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, amongst other things. Kathleen is not only known for her voice, though, she is also in demand in front of the camera, having appeared in numerous films and TV programmes. It is this combination of Gaelic song and film that has brought us together today to talk about a really special song, Oran na Cluiche. Not only has this song become synonymous with Kathleen's singing from her 2006 debut album, Og Fatin Hauri, but she also played Kay Matheson in the Gaelic film In Caesnachaig, which explores the aftermath of the event in question. We are, of course, talking about the infamous story of the retrieval of the Stone of Destiny in 1950, where four students from the University of Glasgow travelled to Westminster Abbey in London on Christmas Eve to bring the stone back to Scotland. A story well worthy of celebration in song and film. Kathleen and I had a very enjoyable afternoon full of laughter, a lot of laughter, chatting about the stone, the plot, the song and the film. And so to the story of Oran na Cluiche.
Kathleen, thank you so much. we're off to a good start. Thank you so much for having me over today and for agreeing to talk to me about Oran na Cluiche. I'm a well-known Gaelic song and a song that's got a pretty exciting story to it, a bit of a an unbelievable story at times, but one that's pretty exciting and
it's a true folk song.
A true folk song,
yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's quite a popular song. It was, I heard it first from the singing of a Nyoasak from Barra, Dol Eos of Machinering. He was quite a legendary singer of his day, and he sang this Stone of Destiny song, Oran na Cluiche, and I was really intrigued by it. And had a great chorus and a fantastic story. So I started kind of, wondering the full story behind it. And, the stone itself is a 336-pound slab of sandstone.
Imagine that fact just off the top of your head.
It's just amazing the, how much I know about this stone. It's basically a sacred object, is how I think of it.
Yeah.
It's very special. It was it's a symbol of Scotland's monarchy, and it was used for the inauguration of kings. And in 1296, King Edward seized the stone from the Scots. And that went down like a lead balloon.
Yes, it did. For a few hundred years.
It did.
So the stone was kept in Scone Palace in Perthshire. And King Edward I was known as Hammer of the Scots. And when he seized it, he had it placed in the coronation chair in Westminster Abbey. So it was thereafter it was used in Westminster Abbey in London for all coronations down there and what became the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and before that, legend has it that the stone was once called Jacob's pillow, the actual Jacob's pillow, on which the biblical figure laid his head whilst dreaming of a ladder to heaven. That's the rumour.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This stone has got arms and legs, I was going to say. I don't think it does, it's just a stone. But it's a really significant stone and has been for hundreds of years. And so I think when something is stolen from a nation, it'll bubble for a while. I think revenge is best. Or maybe not revenge, but kind of
justice.
Justice, exactly. Kirstus.
Kirstus the Alapa.
Yes.
And it was on Christmas Day in 1950 that the SNP students made their way down to London. And on an 18-hour drive in two Ford Anglias from Glasgow. And one of them was Kay Matheson.
Yeah.
Who I once played in a film called The Interrogation of a Highland Lassie.
I love it.
Yeah. I never actually met Kay Matheson.
Okay.
I played Kay Matheson and Dalena McLennan played an older Kay Matheson.
She's a relation of mine. I think she's my cousin's my granny's cousin.
Oh,
yeah.
She's just a legend.
Lovely. Yeah.
She's a legend. But Kay herself, she's from Inner Asdal in Westeros, a Gaelic speaker and a passionate supporter of Scottish independence. And she was studying to become a teacher in Glasgow University. And she was involved with she met Ian Hamilton, Alan Stewart and Gavin Vernon at university and joined the Scottish National Covenant. And on Christmas Eve, they all drove down to London to bring the stone back to Scotland. And that's the backstory of the song.
The backstory.
Or in a cloiche. In a nutshell.
And there concludes the podcast.
The end.
Well, thank you very much, Kathleen.
You're welcome. Shed the
bear. A cup of tea.
So... But that was it's an intriguing song.
It's a really intriguing song, but I think the story though is it was well worthy of a film being made of it, and in fact two films, but we'll come back to that in a minute. So this journey that they took down to London. I mean, see if you're going to come up with a ploy, if you're going to come up with this great idea, there is no better day than the early hours of Christmas morning. I think that's a stroke of genius.
It was a stroke of genius.
It's amazing. And to think that they just met. And they were young. They were in their early 20s.
Yeah, they were full of energy.
Yeah. Spionagalerunda. And to go down an 18-hour journey. But it wasn't without its mishaps.
That's right, because I think they were kind of approached by a policeman or a night watchman, and So who was kissing? It was so Kay and...
Kay and Ian, I believe.
Oh, was it? Right. So, yeah. There was a kiss anyway.
There was a distraction. So I think Ian had gone into... The original plan was that Ian was going to go into the Abbey on Christmas Eve before it locked.
That's right, and sleep there, wasn't it?
And sleep there, but he was found by the night watchman.
Right.
Who mistook him for a homeless man. Offered him money, I think.
Right, yeah.
And said, you can't sleep here. And so that plan was foiled. But then they came back in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. or something, which was, the second plan was just to break down the doors of Westminster Abbey.
Which I think they did with a crowbar, in.
I think so. I've seen a picture of the, in fact, in your film, in Casenachich, the interrogation of a Highland Lass, there's the opening credits have the old BBC news report where it's got the damage done to the door. I was going to ask you, sorry, this is a wee bit of a tangent here.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever broken into a church? No, never crossed your mind.
No. Have you?
No. I think I snuck into the basement of the church in Broadford once.
Right.
When I was really wee. We used to think there was a witch that lived in the basement below the church. And I think we went down the steps and kind of peeked our heads in and then got really spooked.
Yeah, we ran all the way out. Well, no, I haven't actually broken into a church myself.
And no, and never stolen ground property.
No. How boring.
I think that's testament to how much the four students felt so passionate that the stone needed to be returned to Scotland. That it was...
I think it was really heavy as well, like I said earlier. What weight did I say it was?
336
pounds slab of sandstone is not easy to shift.
No, so,
and
not.
They dropped it.
They broke it
into two pieces. Yeah, because the story is that they came back with it and then... they fixed it and then there was tons of replicas made of it. So then there was they were hidden all over the place. Nobody knew which one was the real stone.
Yeah.
And this was the story I was going to tell you was about. I did a concert once for the Blast Festival and I was up in Arasdale Way.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And a lady came up to me at the gig and she said that she was a carer in the old folks' home where Kay spent her final years.
Oh, wow.
And she would go up to Kay with her cup of tea and say, Kay, is that the real stone? And Kay would look at her and say, wouldn't you like to know? So she was a real character to the end. Kay was a very strong, very political and just a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
I love what she did. It's fantastic.
I love it as well. Yeah, definitely. So they broke in early hours of Christmas morning. They managed to free the stone. They kind of broke the coronation chair to dislodge the stone. They dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
They smashed it.
Yeah.
They dragged it out of the abbey. And I think it's kind of lucky they smashed it in a way because it was so heavy. I think it damaged one of the cars.
But you were saying that it fell on her foot. I didn't know it fell on her foot.
Apparently,
broke her toes.
It broke her toes, and she had an injury for the rest of her life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Wow. Hammy fell a goal of me.
You didn't get that in your notes for the acting for in the film.
I don't remember that in the film. No, they didn't say that in the film. Actually, definitely would have remembered that.
So then again, they were interrupted again just as they were putting the stone into the car. A policeman came along and that's where the kiss came about.
Yeah.
A wee romantic moment between...
But managed to convince the policeman that they were just a young couple. So he left them alone.
They had to get rid of the stone because
the border between Scotland and England had been closed because the alarm was raised. We hear that in the song, don't we? Yeah. When they find that the stone has gone. And the alarm was raised and made the headlines mm-hmm. across the nation.
Yeah.
And so I suppose they were pretty gleek, pretty smart not to go across the border with it in the car. So I think they
left it in England for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Until everything calmed down. But the thing I liked about when the news first broke, everybody, well, people in Scotland were so delighted. They were just, you know, there was and there was many, many songs apparently composed about the incident.
Mm-hmm.
They were banned. They were banning them. You know, they
banning the songs.
The establishment took it quite badly.
Wow.
Apparently they were banned, but this one survived because nobody knew
what being said. One of the benefits of an oppressed language.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then, like you said, the stone had been split in two. So after a couple of weeks, they went back to England, retrieved the stone and took it to a stonemason. I said, you know, you must have had whoever they left the stone with in England and the stonemason that they gave it to in Scotland to fix it.
Yeah.
Such trust in them not to...
I know, it's fantastic.
...to dub them into the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's quite amazing. and then...
The stonemason inserted a brass rod inside with a piece of paper in it.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what it says.
It's got, apparently got something written on it. Right, so what we'll do, right, we'll go and break in...
to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh Castle, where it is now.
I want to know what's written on that note.
Well, this is the big reveal of the podcast.
Yeah.
We've got it here.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, so the stone was fixed by the stonemason.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, I think about three months after they'd stolen it, or four, maybe about April 1951,
mm-hmm.
the stone appeared at Arbroath Abbey
mm-hmm.
With a saltire draped over it.
Yeah.
Saltire, the Scottish flag for anyone who's unsure. And it appeared by the high altar of Arbroath Abbey, which is pretty significant because Arbroath Abbey is where the Arbroath Declaration was first signed.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago. And then, long story short, the stone was then returned back to England the following year.
Yeah.
Much to the disgruntlement and upset and devastation of many Scottish people.
But was it the real one?
Oh.
Da, da, da. That's the good bit.
Yeah, we'll never know. That's amazing, isn't it?
Do you have a crowbar? We're just going to have to do this ourselves.
I know, exactly. I don't, but I could have it arranged.
But Donald McIntyre, Dol MacIntyre, the Paisley Bard, obviously heard this, you know, like many did. The news broke and then he was inspired to write his own sort of satirical, sort of humorous take on Oran Cloiche. Now, he was a renowned bard from South Uist, mm-hmm. and he spent much of his life in Paisley, hence the nickname the Paisley Bard.
Mm-hmm.
He won the Bardic Crown at the Mod, and his poetry was published by the Scottish Gaelic Text Society, and he was absolutely delighted when he heard the what had happened in London
mm-hmm.
and started to compose his own special take on the Cloiche, you know, the Oran the Cloiche, the Song of the Stone. So that's what happened there, way over in South Uist. So the news reached far and wide.
It certainly did. He apparently composed it just all in a oneer. It just all came out, tumbling out.
Incredible.
Like really. A tumbling stone.
Amazing. It's just amazing though, isn't it? The way people can do that. Are you a songwriter yourself?
Not at all.
Me neither. I've got no talent.
No. Oh, well. No, I can sing you ones that are 300 years old, but I don't really have a talent myself for writing songs. But
he was also a supporter of the nationalist cause himself.
Yes.
25 verses in a single sitting.
That's impressive.
Isn't it?
A song become very famous from your own singing of it, Kathleen.
What?
One of your one of your hits.
One hit wonder. But yeah, like I said, I heard it from when I was like singing, and I just started singing it. I was enjoying it. It's quite fast. It can go quite fast. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I love laments.
Yeah.
And sad songs. And yeah. So it's kind of like, it was a wee change for me to sing Oireann na Cloiche.
And were you aware of the story and how politically charged the story is when you first learned it and started singing it?
I'd heard the story, but I hadn't realised that there was a Gaelic song about it.
Ah, okay.
So it was quite interesting to read all the different verses. And I'd also heard it sung by Ruadí Chaimbal.
Sí, a Barai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a brilliant version of it. And I think Mary McInnes had recorded it as well.
Oh,
so quite a few singers had recorded it.
Yeah.
And I recorded it in 2006 on my first album, Og Vating Howdy.
Lovely.
So I recorded it here in Glasgow, over in, not that far from here, over in Shawlands.
Oh, wow.
And Ian MacDonald from Glenuig, he was the producer. And lovely. Mark Duff, mm-hmm. He was the musician with me. So we just kind of arranged it like that.
Brilliant.
And I can't think who else is on the record. Can't remember.
And so when you were choosing the pieces for your album, did you always think, I definitely want that song in it?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely wanted my dad's song, Oireann Gaoil Phádraig. I mean, that was definitely wanted that one. And Oireann na Cloiche and Céad Faltaigh Ach Gleann. So I had my favourites. Mm-hmm. I think I went into that recording studio and I think we recorded all my songs in about 3 days, and I didn't know that many songs. I think I had about 8 or something. And Li Yang said, right, you have to go and learn another few songs and come back.
Oh no.
So that was definitely one of the favourites at the time anyway.
Yeah.
So I had the book Oireann na Cloiche. That was the Paisley Bard's book.
It's a collection of songs.
Yeah. And it was my Uncle Donald's book. So all of the verses were in it, and I was, when we moved into this house, I put a load of boxes in the basement, mm-hmm. and forgot about them. And then a few years later, I was looking for Oireann na Cloiche, the book, and it was kind of had water damage and ruined. It was damp because it was at the other side of the basement, and I was like, I was really sad. I lost my favorite book.
So
anyway,
this is a plea going out.
Yeah.
For anybody who wants to sponsor Kathleen's book collection.
So I don't have the full copy of the book. I don't have the full songs, but on Bliain na n-Oireann website.
That's an amazing website. For anybody who doesn't know that website,
yeah,
it's a great resource for...
There's two brilliant ones. Tópar a Dolchais is just... I mean, you can lose days on that website.
A wealth of archive recordings from the 50s and 60s mainly.
Yeah,
but ongoing.
And stories and songs and Scots and Gaelic and... Mm. It's just been like this. They've updated the website, which is amazing. You can now go back, because before you could only go forward.
Ah,
do you not remember when you're if you're researching something and you wanted to go back a couple of pages?
Oh yeah, no,
you would lose everything, which is quite good because you know, I've lost days on it anyway. But Bliain na n-Oireann is another one. That's a BBC website, and it has loads and loads of songs. If you're interested in Gaelic songs,
I think it was Joe MacDonald from the BBC who came up with the idea of Bliain na n-Oireann.
Yeah,
I think was it her project.
I heard recently that they're going to be taking it down.
I
know.
No.
I know.
Screenshot it all.
You can't.
What?
It's too much.
Oh no. Right, you're going to have to learn more songs.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Oh no.
I heard that.
That'd be a great loss.
Yeah.
So Bliana an Oran has got the full 25 verses of Oran the Cloiche.
Yeah, if you don't have Sporan Goyle the book.
If you don't, Yeah, so the full 25 verses, because you don't sing all of the verses.
No, they won't let me. They're actually tired of me singing the song. I'm lucky they let me sing six of them. Sorry, I think I sing about six or seven.
One verse on TikTok, that's it. We're down to a really, really short attention span these days.
I should do that, actually.
Yeah. you totally should. There's a gap there.
Do 25 TikToks.
Yeah. Amazing. Let's have a little look at the song then, and maybe we could go through the verses and give a rough idea of, I know we've told the backstory, but kind of have a wee look at some of the humour and some of the descriptions that come out through the song, because it's really descriptive. It is like a, it's quite, I imagine it like a slapstick comedy.
Yeah, I hate to skip to the funny bits. But when the minister, that's, you know.
Yes, that's my favourite bit.
You know, the minister had tours for Savating the Goosh, the Prapping of the Hole, and the Tune the Gamach. You know, that's like everybody just going nuts when they first discover that it's missing.
And the minister who discovered it, he's still got the sleep in his, I love that description, Prapping the Hole, and he's still got the sleep in his eyes.
Early morning call.
Yeah.
You have to come down immediately.
No one wants that call on Christmas morning.
It's just hilarious.
I mean, how many people's Christmas did they ruin?
It's pretty good.
The Queen's. She gets a mention. But he starts off with, you know, they all know about this stone that the grandmother and his grandfather would be, you know, would have stories about, the storytelling tradition. You know, so they knew about it. It's a very famous stone. Has been returned the way it, Chilig Maragalavi, it's been returned the way it was
taken.
Yeah. So even in that's quite political.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken it back. So they didn't really steal it, in my opinion.
No, I don't think so.
They stole it first.
Exactly. Two wrongs definitely make a right in this one.
So, Mughalat, the Chlach. This is a term of endearment, the Mughalat. In US, anyway, I don't know if you have that in Sky.
No, I don't know that one.
Mughalat, you know, there was like buddy kind of thing. Okay. You know? So they're fond of the stone. And then I don't know where he gets the, they say, you know, the, I don't know if that's from another song or did he write that himself?
I heard somebody once say that it's meant to sound like the tumbling of a stone.
Oh, I'm not sure. Quite often they would compose songs to existing melodies.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether he had actually done that bit, but I'm sure somebody can tell me that. So he doesn't care then if it's in Kerala and Colossae and Calavai and he's naming a lot of different places in Scotland.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind where in Scotland it is, because at that point they didn't know where it was.
Of course.
But they knew it was in Scotland.
Yeah.
So he was delighted about this.
So long as it's back in Scotland.
Yeah. And they can't touch it. So and then he goes on to say, Achlachai Yeorn, the stone that was, how would you say, a yeoring that was gone?
It gone from you, but like almost like a feeling of longing for it, maybe.
Yeah, and if fine as a neen, and so they're saying they've got their nails in this stone.
That's so descriptive, just taking it from their clutches.
Right? Yeah, from their.
You can almost imagine that scrape of it coming out of their nails, you know, metaphorically.
Yeah, so it's showing how much he cared. About, you know, how they got it back. They got it back. He's Hanish and Gama. He's delighted that they've got the stone out of their claws. So
it's great.
So he's now, you know, Machudis yet and Lavid Hanular Ring Vilajet Bulya Hort is Starling. And he's talking about, like, it's a symbol of the strength of a nation. I mean, it meant so much to have it back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was such a boost to, you know, this sort of passion.
I think as well, felt about so it was 1950. Going into 1951, post-war, just a few years after the Second World War, and really a time, it gave the independence cause a big boost as well. That really started resurging at that time as well.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, it definitely maybe empowered a lot of people in their belief and determination.
Massively, yeah. I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can hear that there in that verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know how important it was. And then the joy and the comedy element comes in.
Here we go.
With the minister. Well, he's imagining the scenario, like you said, of getting that early morning phone call and all the politicians. And where does the
chaos and the panic, you know, to go and see that the abbey had been broken into. You can just imagine there must have been people just pacing around, just, oh my goodness.
So the prapana, the hoolan, is asleep in his eyes and walking around the floor, a gochani, sigourney, ochani is like onomatopoeic word. Oh,
yes.
Oh my God. Like sigourney, praying, this cannot be happening. And looking at the back where they bust out, you know, where they broke in and got the stone out. And starach, so reaffect, everybody just running around and nothing else to say but where is the stone?
Where is the bee? Yeah, absolute disbelief.
And I quite like the way he's dramatising it with, you know, what he's putting words into their mouth, you know?
Yes.
Cadjachachwach and voda voda vahath. Kajina mishamad. I'm just, is that? No. Voda voda vahath is like a reference to the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
So it's praying to the Virgin Mary, which are highly unlikely. No, they're not going to be praying to the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to be going back. Not in the Church of England. Not in the Mission Man. Oh, no, because a fissin could be vary if I call a perk. We have to break the news to the Queen on Christmas morning.
Exactly. And what her reaction and opinion to that will be.
So they're getting the rosary beads out. We're going to break this to the Queen.
That's brilliant.
So,
it's really, really good.
So this next person, this character that he's kind of imagining, mm-hmm. has the colour of death on his face.
That's so cute. You can just, you know, in a cartoon, you could just see it, yeah. Draining.
The colour draining from their faces.
From their face, exactly.
And, Chachrachings a kebrache, good toku fervolare, and beautiful poet, beautiful rhythmic poetry as well.
That rhyming scheme coming through it as well.
Yeah. How do they lift it? You know, how do they manage to actually lift it with its 336 pounds of sandstone?
That's going to be your number one takeaway from this. 336 pounds, you know.
So it goes on like that, you know.
Yeah, and then you look at that, you go, "Lad, you're the air."
Yeah, strong as a horse.
They'd have to be as strong as a horse. Yep. Apparently, Kay Matheson was chosen because she was a Highland woman who was well used to cutting peat, and and she would have been strong from all the work she did on the croft at home.
Correct. Good on her. This is quite a well-known verse. Jessie agus tuaich a killer a gholach. Is vida leis a nuavad gan duath sin a chlach. People in the north and south. Killerig.
I love that word.
Same here. Yeah. I love that word. So it's normally like you hear a bit birds.
Bird song. Right? Yeah.
But this is like, you know, talking but kind singing.
Sweet singing, yeah.
Yeah.
Chirping.
Is vida as well. Mida is joyful.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got the clach back.
Yeah.
We've got the stone back. You know, we're delighted.
Here's a reference to Ireland.
That's
so
it.
So I hadn't realised this connection to Ireland. Lord Hanikia Erin Vacantinus Majeing gan fanama trichéile mai ghlé sin i chlach.
So that's the Irish connection, that it had come from Ireland.
The stone back. Originally.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then before that, going back to biblical times, whole Haddish. So that's the connection with Ireland and, you know, how they had reckoned it had come from Ireland before coming to Scotland. It had come from Ireland.
I love that, because there's such a strong connection between Scotland and Ireland.
That's right.
Culturally, language, music.
And before that, from biblical times. And so he goes on like that, just with the joy. It's a joyful song.
Yeah.
And humorous and political and passionate and
poetic.
The poetry is fantastic and it's lively, and I just really like it.
It's great. I think it's an amazing song that kind of encapsulates the feeling of a nation, or certainly a large chunk of the nation. And
did they say, did he write this on Christmas Day or
when? I think he wrote it in the weeks
following
a couple of weeks after, and the four students went to visit Barsfashlik, and because they'd heard the news that a song had been composed about it, and they went to celebrate that with him.
Oh,
I wonder if they divulged like the story.
I don't
like,
know.
All the juicy details.
Who does know? I do.
That you do, because you've got that paper from inside the rod.
Just like Kay Matheson said, wouldn't you like to know?
Ah, that's great.
We'd all love to know.
Exactly. Some things you don't divulge, you keep it with you. Right, back to Kay Matheson.
Okay.
So, because I was going to say, this song, it sounds like a movie. It sounds like an amazing story to make a film about.
It's all there, even the kiss.
Yes. And a movie, well, two movies were made about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one in English.
I've never seen that one.
No, actually. I've not seen it either.
I'd love to see it. I must watch it.
Yeah. Well, we have a movie night.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
What's it called? Stone of Destiny?
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was, when was that? Like 10 years ago or something, was it?
I think it was 2008. I may have plucked that number from nowhere.
I remember it coming out, but I didn't actually see it.
Didn't go and see it.
But I must watch it.
Because you thought, I've done that.
Yeah, I was raging. No, I'm kidding. I remember, I must watch it at some point though.
So tell us about In Case na Chuig then. So how did the film come about? And so In Case na Chuig, the interrogation of a Highland lass, is centred on Kay Matheson, our protagonist of the story. And it's set in Wester Ross, with the police coming to interrogate her just in the weeks after the stone had been taken.
Yeah, and she refused to speak English to the police officer, and he just thought she was being difficult. And so that's kind of like the basis of the way they filmed it. It was all in Gaelic. And I was living in New York at the time, and they asked me if I'd come over and film this, you know.
Wow.
And I said I would be delighted to do that. But I was going on holiday first with my friend Barbara to Costa Rica. So I learnt all my lines on the beach in Costa Rica. And there was monkeys in the... I was lying on the beach and there was monkeys in the trees.
Oh, wow.
And then we went back to New York and then came home. And it was such a beautiful couple of weeks of filming.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so it was mostly filmed in Glasgow, and I had a fantastic time with Kenny McRae and Nairn Hughes and Joel Strachan. He played Ian Hamilton, and it was directed by the fantastic Mike Alexander, who worked a lot with Douglas Eady, and they're the ones who did the transatlantic sessions.
Oh.
So that was, they did dramas. Well, Mike is a fantastic director. He did dramas as well, but also music, fantastic music programs,
right,
like the Highland Sessions and the Transatlantic Sessions. So we just had a brilliant time recording it. absolutely fantastic. And then on the final scene, there's a big huge speech, Kay Matheson's speech, and then there's the cast and crew got on so well, a huge big round of applause, and then we had a huge big party.
Oh yeah.
I just have nothing but fond memories of it.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was really lovely. And in fact, wait a minute. I think that's why I ended up singing that song. Do you know that? Ah. Because I went to into Jim Sutherland's studio in Edinburgh and recorded it in there for that movie.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because it comes at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been the first time I sang it.
Oh, wow.
And then I kind of developed it after that.
Nice.
I recorded it, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Just remembering that.
I love in the film as well, there's a lot of reference to Maribor and Anoran.
Yeah.
And she, or the script, she talks about how Maribor was a big influence on her. Maribor, the great Gaelic bard, who was very politically... astute and active in fighting for crofting rights.
Yeah. Martha.
Hello.
Check out.
Hello.
Hi.
Giddy giddy podcast.
I know.
Okay, Ma. Sometimes people... just people pass and she likes to have a go in the bar at them.
It's like if I had to slow
down. Oh, yeah.
She likes to go out and have a go at them.
How dare you? Just drag a bin past my road end.
Exactly.
So maybe you have to wait until she's stopped barking. Okay.
Yeah. I love that there are so many. Such a strong reference to Maribor and Anoran, and it's like it's echoed in Kay Matheson. She seems like the next Maribor, and Maribor seems to have been a big influence on her in her activism.
Yeah, it's lovely the way they mention her in the script. Douglas Eady, it was his own script and translated by Dalena McLennan, and they would both have been just more than delighted to have included Maribor as a kind of iconic, strong woman like Kay.
Yeah.
So the comparison was a really good one.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much. I've had a lovely time learning about the weight of the Stone of Destiny, both physically and metaphorically.
That's correct. Well, it's been lovely having you.
Mm-hmm.
Come round for tea any time to talk about Ora na Cluichí.
I'd love to. I think in just summing up, it's just it's a song that's full of excitement, full of drama, a song that really captures the nation's imagination, a really great way to transmit the message of hope and justice. With a good smattering of humour.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. A great song.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for singing the song and bringing it to our attention so much as well.
Oh, one of many. And hopefully more people will sing it.
Yeah. I think so. It'd be nice. Caillou, thank you very much.
Share the verb.
Shall we sing a bit of the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? Alchlach va mohenna vas mohenna dor shanachas chilig mara gala vi mo gala te chlach kumala min kerara and kala sain un kalavai fat sahai na la ping and gadali hin kas si yura va hora o hili and boha hili and boru aikui hili and boha si yura va hora o hili and boha kakudin na chichir menge huma si kefalachi Horingats nach chara get a scallop ye horchas, a chlach a chaye ye, or ye fying as a neen, and kachiving a mahili, hanish and gama, see you the bahoro, hilly and boha. Mianan is for charnik ach mahed agus mach nach lik shingal nunga aga fed a hook a sassy savi untrik is a charnaga a chuk and hlak machud is yet in love it hanuler gang vi lachet bull your heart shit halul is stalling a mach see you the bahoro hilly and boha hilly and bodi wakui hilly and boha see you the bahoro hilly and boha vamin is chachotu Saksavating ne the gooshke, proper ne the hole in a chum da gemach, a koshach vegan nul, a gochanix a gurney, call you de the hole as the yum dring a clach, see you the vahoro, hilly and boha. Hilly and bodu a gooey, hilly and boha, see you the vahoro, hilly and boha. Shin for a roastar, a sorry a figure lad, and could smitch a giddy dodging a cajach a clock. A buddha buddha vad, kachina mishamada, fissum gubby body, a fag a la perk. See you the bahoro, hilly and boha. Hilly and body work, hilly and boha. See you the bahoro, hilly and boha. Gandurches ta vash, hachra chinks a kebrach. Gadhoka fervolar in a parch and a spech. Harutik and dan goes can gucha hagandami. Dun ya hook a sassy holachi the ech. See you the bahoro, hilly and boha. Hilly and body work, hilly and boha. See you the bahoro. Oh, I've done that already.
My thanks again to Kathleen McInnes for being such good fun and generous in her reflections on such an epic story, as well as her personal connections to this wonderful song and story. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. If so, remember to like, share, review and subscribe to this podcast. It really does make a world of difference. The music you hear is taken from my album Urunta, which is available through my website www.deirdregraham.com, as well as on the usual streaming platforms. Before I go, I'd like to extend my grateful thanks to the Taskuch Fund from Fashion and Gael for supporting this series. I look forward to sharing more Gaelic song stories with you, and I hope that you'll join me the next time. Chun an Orsig, Bianach Glaive.